O nectar from the ocean of all scriptures, singular fruit of all the Vedas, rich mine of the precious gems of all conclusive truth, you are the only giver of sight to all the worlds. O life air of all the Lord's devotees, O Master, O Bhagavatam, you are the sun risen in the darkness of Kali, you are the exact image of Krishna. I bow down to you, who are supremely blissful to read. Your every syllable pours down a flood of prema. You can always be served by everyone. You are Sri Krishna himself. My only friend, my constant companion, my spiritual master, my greatest wealth, my savior, my good fortune, my source of ecstasy, I bow down to you. O bestower of saintliness to the unsaintly, O exalter of the most fallen, please never leave me. Always appear in my heart and my voice with pure love. This morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 73. Lord Krishna blesses the liberated kings. What's the verse? 15. Tamna samadhi shopayam yena te charanabhyayo smitiryatana viramed api samsharatam miha. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Please tell us how we may constantly remember your lotus feet, though we continue in the cycle of birth and death in this world. Purport. One can constantly remember the Lord only by His mercy. Such remembrance is the easy method to obtain supreme liberation, as explained in Bhagavad Gita. Ananya chittasa suttatam yomam smarati nityasa tasyaham sulabha bharta nitya yuktasya yogina. For one who always remembers me without deviation, I am easy to obtain, O son of Pritha, because of his constant engagement in devotional service. The words api samsaratam iha indicate that the kings were approaching Lord Krishna not merely for liberation, but rather for the boon of always being able to remember his lotus feet. Such constant remembrance is a symptom of love, and love of Godhead is the actual goal of life. Translation again. Please tell us how we may constantly remember your lotus feet, though we continue in the cycle of birth and death in this world. So, we're continuing with the prayers of the, as Prabhupada calls them, the liberated kings. Those kings who were captured and imprisoned by Jarasandha and who were later liberated by Lord Krishna. And as we mentioned yesterday, not just liberated from the prison of Jarasandha, but liberated from the prison house of material existence by the mercy of the Lord through the process of devotional service. So one who has been saved from such a terrible fate, not just being in prison, that's pretty bad, but worse yet is to be in the prison house of material existence, Durga Dham. This is the abode of Durga Maya, and her Durga Dham means the prison house of material existence. It's a prison, it's maximum security. When they get the really bad prisoners, you know, the repeated offenders, they put them in maximum security. Generally you can't get out. Four very high walls. So we're in the maximum security prison of Durga Dham, and there's four very high walls which no one can overcome. Birth, disease, old age and death. How you can escape? Only by the mercy of a Vaishnava. Charya Vaishnava Seva, Narottama says, who's ever been liberated without the mercy of a Vaishnava? Because other types of liberation mean that you may merge into the Brahman effulgence of the Lord, but as long as you're there, still it's temporary, as Prabhupada said, because it's a more or less desireless place, but there is desire in the heart of the soul. So after a long time there, you become dissatisfied and you don't have spiritual desire, higher spiritual desires to serve Krishna, so you succumb again to the lower taste of material desires. Back to Mataji. I can't concentrate. If they're talking, keep her quiet. You come back down to the earthly planet. Prabhupada said that when one is in the Brahman, and again the material desires manifest because we don't have the deeper spiritual desires of Krishna consciousness, that is the most painful thing in material existence. You can think of many painful situations, but that's the most, to fall from the Brahman back down to the material world, that's the most painful. So someone who has been liberated from any painful condition is naturally grateful to the person who delivered them. So these are the heartfelt prayers of the kings to Krishna, who's delivered them not only from Jarasandha's prison, but by his mercy, by his personal association, has liberated them from material existence altogether and delivered them to the param gati, the highest goal, which is eternal service to the Lord. These are very heartfelt prayers. They're not like neophyte devotees. We're memorizing some prayers and we're saying them, but the bhava is not so much there yet. Just like we gave the analogy the other day, that in the school, in the Gurukul, you often visit the Gurukul. Well, I don't know, I don't think you have a school here yet, but some places there's a school and you go and the young, they line the young kids up for the visit of the Maharaj and they just, you know, the shlokas are coming from their mouths. And afterwards, they stop and you say to the little devotee, "So, what is the translation?" "I don't know." Or if they know the translation, then you say, "What is the meaning of that translation?" "Oh, blank face." So they're saying the shloks, but the feeling is not there. And we're in a similar situation. We're sadhakas. We're practicing devotional service, but the feeling is not there yet. That will come, hopefully, in due course of time. That's called bhav. And when that feeling, affection, turns into love, it's called prema. So we're like that. We're like little kids. La, 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 la. We're doing everything out of duty. We're afraid if we don't do it, we'll be punished. But there comes a stage where when the anarthas are removed from the heart, those obstacles, then we do our service with some affection. In the beginning, that affection is manifest towards the devotees. We serve in the association of devotees, so there's some love that develops. Serving Krishna together, some deep affection for each other. As we advance, we develop some genuine appreciation, affection, and love for our guru. It's like a child doesn't understand who the parent is in the beginning. It's just accepting the service. Just the parents are always taking care. There comes a stage in the child's life that he just looks back and says, "Thanks, Mom. Thanks, Dad. Everything you did for me." And we're, as parents, we're all waiting for that day. So we have that appreciation for our teacher. And by the blessings of our teacher, one day we will have that love for Krishna. So Hari Guru Vaishnava. These loving sentiments are aroused in the association of Vaishnavas by serving the Guru and by the mercy of Krishna. So we hanker for that. Rupa Goswami says, as young boys are attracted to young girls, and as young girls are attracted to young boys, with the same intensity, Lord, but in a transcendental way, through bhakti, let me be devoted to you. So this was the whole purpose of the International Society for Krishna. Everything we're doing is that so one day we'll have a little love in our hearts for the divine couple. That's why we're here. We have so many duties, so many things, so many programs. We can't forget the goal. We're here to love Radha and Krishna. And we can measure our progress to the degree that we've developed that love. Right now, of course, that means being good sadhakas, adosh, shraddha, tata, sadhu, sangha, tabhajana, kriya, anartha, nivriti, syat. There's no question of love if you have lust. Prabhupada said, real bhakti begins when one is freed from sex desire. So we're trying to come to the stage of purifying the heart so that little seed of bhakti can begin to grow. What to do? We follow in the footsteps of liberated souls, the Mahajanas. So we listen very carefully to these prayers. The kings are praying. They're realized. It's not just jnana, it's vijnana. These are prayers of the heart. What they're saying with deep realizations and meaning and gratitude and affection. They're saying these prayers. And actually this expressing of prayer is one of the nine processes, isn't it? Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Shmaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Bandham, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. There's nine ways that you can serve Krishna to bring forth that bhav, that love. Bandhanam is one. A prayer is actually a revelation of the heart. If you don't have that affection, then you just repeat the prayers and gradually some sentiment comes. Like a child learns to walk by watching mommy and daddy. Mommy and daddy are walking, baby looks, and baby stands up with those little rubbery legs and falls down and gets up and walks, just watching, imitating. So by repeating the prayers of devotees like these liberated kings, we get a sense of what is devotion. But in this process of bandhanam, offering prayer, we have to be a little selective. Because there's lots of people praying. But we're part of a tradition which is a little selective in our prayers. Some people pray without shame in the Hindu temple, in the church, in the mosque, in the synagogue. They pray for money, they pray for freedom from illness or disease, for fame. I know a lot of kids, they go and pray that they'll get good marks in school. Please God, if you just give me, and then I'll be really good, I'll mow the lawn for my dad. So this is okay, it's not ideal, it's at least they're approaching Krishna. And by his association, associated devotees, they'll learn the deeper prayer. Nadhanam nadjanam nasundarim kavicham va dagadisha kamaye. Mama janmini janmini shep bhavatat bhakti. And Bhavuji, I'm coming before you. I don't want money. I don't want beautiful wife or handsome husband. I don't want of fame and prestige. I don't even want liberation. Mama janmani janmani ishvara bhavatad bhakti. Even if I'm not even interested in liberation, I'm happy to stay here, just do some service to your lotus feet, because that is my eternal constitutional position. So that is our prayer. We don't use God's name in vain, as the Christians say. Using God's name for obtaining something. Oh Krishna, oh Radha, please, no, Asking them for something mundane is using God's name in vain. Prabhupada gave an example. He said, once there was a little boy, he was asked to go shopping by his father, so he went to the shop to buy some fairly expensive commodity, and he was a village boy, so he walked in the shop, and the shopkeepers, they were a bit rascal. They had this way. He walked in and he heard, Gopal! He said, this is a Krishna conscious store. This is like the temple store. Gopal! Then he walked a little further into the store. One of the shopkeepers called out, Madhusudan! He walked a little further into the store and one of the shopkeepers, he called out, Hari! So the boy had, oh, these are Vaishnavas. They won't cheat me. I can buy something. But actually these shopkeepers, they were using the name of God in vain. They had a little system. When somebody a little simple who they could cheat walked in, they'd say, Gopal, meaning he's just a cowherd boy, what does he know? But, then the other one would say, ah, Madhusudan, but husband of goddess of fortune, that little cowherd boy has lots of money. And the third shopkeeper would say, Hari, take everything away from him. Hari means he who removes all inauspiciousness. So they're using God's name, but in vain. We don't want to use like that. We don't want to pray like that. Today in this verse, the kings are offering a proper prayer. They're asking Krishna that they could remember his lotus feet in any and all situations in this material world. There's another beautiful prayer like that. One of my favorite. It was expressed by Kunti Devi. You know, Prabhupada liked her prayers. Take any part of the Bhagavatam. There's so many prayers by Prahlad, by Dhruva, by Kunti. Every devotee gets kind of attached to a certain set of prayers. My brother, who is now a devotee, he used to be Bhakta Pete. He got attracted to the holy name. He got addicted to the holy name. And eventually he took initiation. My brother became my disciple. Because I heard Lokanath Maharaj initiated his mother and his sisters, so I thought it was okay. He's my Shiksha Guru, Lokanath Maharaj. So my brother said, I want to be initiated. I said, oh, then there's so many nice devotees coming here, Bharanath Swami and Jayapataka Maharaj. I said, no, he said, I want you to be my guru. I said, I'm your brother. He said, you may be whatever you are, but you delivered me from material existence, so I have faith you can take me to Krishna. Okay. So anyway, his name is Braj Kumar Das. Very good devotee. We just came back from India together. So he is an avid reader of Chaitanya Charitamrita. And I have to keep up with him because he's learning so quick. And the questions that he asks are a little bit hard to answer, so by his mercy I'm studying CC very carefully. So he became addicted to the Shikshastakam. He loves those prayers. He said that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's so special. He's actually Krishna. I said, yes, I know. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radhe Krishna Nahayangam. Oh, you're learning the shlokas. Yes, he had external reason and internal reason. Internal reason, he wanted to understand Radharani's love for Krishna. I said, okay, slow but sure. Wins the race. Just anyway, he likes very much the Shikshastakam prayer. So we all have our prayers. And there's one prayer of Kunti Devi, which I always find very nice. As a means to fulfill this desire of the kings, they always want to remember Krishna's lotus feet while in this material world. So Kunti Devi, after the battle of Kurukshetra, Krishna was preparing to return to Dvaraka, and Kunti approached him and she offered her set of prayers, one of which was, Twayi me nanya visha, matir maru mate krikrit. Ratim udva hathat adha gangavogam udanvati. O Lord of Madhu, As the Ganges forever flows to the sea without hindrance, let my attraction be drawn unto you without being diverted to anyone else. The same mood of the kings today. She's praying always to remember Krishna and never forget him. This is the essence of all instruction, Srila Prabhupada said. Smartavya satatam Vishnur. Vishmartavyo na jata jit. That's from Padma Purana. One should always remember Krishna and never forget him. We often give the example. It was here in Australia, actually, up at New Govardhan some years ago. I saw one boy coming to the program, and in front of his t-shirt read, "Always remember Krishna." I thought, that's a cool t-shirt. And it became even more cool when he walked by, and on the back it said, "And never forget him." I want that t-shirt. So it's a simple thing to always remember Krishna, never forget him. But is it? The kings, they always want to remember Krishna in this world of birth and death. Kunti Devi is praying for the same mercy. To always remember Krishna and never forget him. That's why we're doing everything we do, so we can be constantly absorbed in thoughts of the Lord. But it's difficult, isn't it? Why is it difficult for us? Because we have so many other things to think about. We think there's so many other important things. That we sit down to chant our japa, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. And almost as soon as we start to chant the japa, it's like a little signal goes to the brain. Doom, our mind starts wandering. And how focused is our attention on the holy names? You finish, and then you... Hey, wait a minute, did I chant 16? Did I chant today? I thought about prasadam, I thought about my service, I thought about the fight I had with my wife, I thought about the bills, I thought about the program tonight, and the belt. But did I think about Krishna? Was I attentive? Was I meditating on every syllable? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. And what's more, was there something coming from the heart? That type of chanting, that will attract the Lord. Like babies crying. Mother's saying, just continues cooking the milk. And some dangerous situation comes. Oh, come, mother comes immediately. So if you chant casually, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Ram, 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 Ram. This is a prayer. This is the ultimate prayer from the heart. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. This is our problem. It's hard for us to always remember Krishna and never forget him, because we have other things to remember and not forget. Shrotavya dhini rajendra nrinam shanti sahasrashaha apashyatam atmatatvam griheshu griha medinam. Those who are materially engrossed, being blind to the knowledge of the absolute truth, have many subject matters for hearing in human society, O emperor. This is Shukdev Goswami speaking to Maharaj Parikshit on the verge of death. He's not speaking to him, he's speaking for our benefit. People are really engrossed in material life, being blind to Krishna consciousness. They have so many subject matters for hearing about. If you want to get a glimpse, just read the newspaper. From the front page to the back page, there's so many subject matters. Where is Krishna? And they're thinking it's so important. I was noticing when I was in India, flying on the planes in India, they're like so engrossed that they read the newspaper, the same article, three times. I was like, well, hello. They would read it. They go it's like a long flight from Delhi down to Madras, so they're reading. And then I watch the man next to me. Then he turns it back and he reads the same thing all over again. He goes over every article. Three times he read it. And then he folded the newspaper, put it under his arm and walked off the plane. He's got a frame. But when it comes to Krishna consciousness, oh, Swamiji, I know. You know what? I know Krishna. If you know Krishna, what are you doing here? Like that devotee said to Lord Chaitanya, Mahaprabhu, you have so much bhav. You have so much devotion for Krishna. If I had any devotion for Krishna, I wouldn't be here. I'd be there. So they're engrossed. It's almost as they're enamored, but very danger. Like the deer, she goes down to the pond to drink some water, and it's a very clear, windless day, and she sees her reflection in the water. Oh my, how beautiful. Hello, hello. You're very cute, you're very cute. I love you, I love you. She's enchanted, and while she's enchanted, she doesn't hear a tiger coming. Tiger's on the prowl. You've seen a tiger, they go. And making a little noise, but because she's so enamored by her face in the mirror, by his face in the mirror, I can't do it anymore, it's just nothing left. There was a day when I was young. And tiger's coming. So the tiger of death is creeping up slowly on everyone. Durga, what does she ride? Swan? No, Brahma rides swan. Elephant? No, Indra rides elephant. Crocodile? Gangama. She's riding crocodile. What is Durga Ma? She has her trident. Ariatmik, Aribhautik, wake up! Don't be enchanted by this. No, no matter what happens. Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? I've told you 1,000 times, you are. We're getting poked, but we're so enchanted. And then the tiger of death. Too late. We wasted our life, infatuated by all the false promises of happiness in this world. We have shraddha, faith, but we have faith in the material nature to provide what we want. The Prabhupada said, faith means to put your trust in something sublime, like Krishna consciousness. The future is very bright in Krishna consciousness. They say, trust no future, however bright. Well, yes, that's your philosophy. But we have a very bright future if we're strict and we proceed forward, taking shelter. Holy names. A very bright future. Little austerity, but little, not too much. Problem is, we're distracted. Shrotavya dhini rajendra nuinam shanti sahasrashaha. Apashyatam atmatatvam griheshu griha medina. Those who are materially engrossed, being blind to the knowledge of the ultimate truth, so poetic, this is poetry. They have many subject matters for hearing in society, O emperor. So that's why it's hard for us to always remember Krishna, because we're distracted. Nevertheless, we all want to come to that stage, otherwise we wouldn't be sitting here. So Kunti Devi, she gives us a hint how to always remember the Lord. In her prayer she says, Ananya Vishaya, that you can always remember Krishna. Here's the trick. How to not get distracted, how to always remember Krishna? She says, with love. There's two ways to always remember someone. As we said the other day, if you love them or you hate them. And what was the example we gave? I think it wasn't here, it was somewhere else. What is the example? Where was that class?
In Sydney.
But it's Rupa Goswami's example, or maybe Jiva Goswami. Kamsa, he was Krishna conscious. We use the word a lot, so we don't really think about it. Krishna conscious means what? Conscious of Krishna. Like if I'm Prabhu conscious, I'm his wife. I'm always thinking of Prabhu Das. Right, Prati? It's okay that he's your Pati Guru. So I say Prabhu, I'm always Prabhu conscious. I'm always thinking of Prabhu. So Krishna conscious means you're always conscious of Krishna. Kamsa was a very good example of a Krishna conscious person. One time he was driving his sister and her husband from their vivaha yajna, their marriage ceremony. Going home from that's the best day in the life of any girl. Isn't it? Her vivaha yajna, the day she gets married to Prabhu. Oh, going home to their new home, he's going to pick her up and carry her through the threshold, and it's all very romantic. And we will not say anymore. That's a very important day for a girl. And her husband as well. And they're on the chariot, and her brother's driving her, and the brother hears some voice from the sky, "You fool! Don't you know that the eighth child of your sister is going to cut your throat?" So, being the demon that he was, Kamsa, he took his sword from the sheath, one of these big choppers, and he grabbed his sister by the hair, and he pulled her neck back. He was going to cut off her head. Demon will not hesitate to protect his own sense gratification. He'll even kill a relative. Nowadays they're doing that also in abortion. Mothers are killing. But Vasudev convinced him with philosophy that, you know, you're king, if you do this, maybe one will think ill of you. The king has killed a woman on her marriage day. So Kamsa said, "Yes, I will not." All right. And other philosophy he gave. You'll get karma. There's a whole few pages there in Krishna Bhakti. So he promised, we'll have lots of children, like Prabhupada says in a purport in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Every lady's desiring 6 children. I keep asking the ladies, they go, no, 1 or 2 is enough. But in that proper Vedic culture where there's support and then the ladies like to have the children. So Vasudev said, "We'll come with each child and then you can do as you wish. You can have 8th child." This is just some diplomacy. All right. And then you know that the 8th child was transferred to Gokul. And when Kamsa heard of the birth, he came, and instead of Krishna, he saw Yogamaya. When she was in the air with her sword, "You rascal Kamsa, don't you know that the 8th child is already born living?" No. So then he lost his opportunity. So he's thinking, where is that Krishna? Like if somebody sends you a death threat, I've had death threats actually on email. It's one of the occupational hazards of being a leader in this movement. There's people that like you, people who could care less, and people who hate you. Just being a leader means that, I don't know what it is. I get like these really bad letters, like, you know, whatever. Nothing. You're wondering, you know. Or one time, remember we were in Kuobje, and we were setting our festival up, the Festival of India. And I was back behind the stage, and one man came up and he said, "I know you, Indraduna Swami, alias Brian Ivar Tibbetts, born May 20th, 1949, in Palo Alto, California, United States of America. I know you came into Poland on August 23rd, 1988, with your friend Sean Hopgood, who is now Bibi Govinda Maharaj." He did so many things. He said, "And you are stealing the youth of Poland. We have been tracking you, and we will kill you. We have our ways that you will receive the assassin's bullet in the back of your head at the appropriate time." "Rake Krishna Marike Marike." And my bodyguards, because we had, you know, sometimes in Poland it's a little, they were out, you know, having lunch or eating ice cream or something. But there was one boy, he had a video camera. And that man who was there, he saw the video camera and immediately turned and walked away. And I called security. How do you say it in Polish? Okrana.
Okrana.
They came running. I said, great, you guys, you know, you're eating your ice cream and I could have been like killed here. So then for a few weeks and even now from time to time, I think, who was that man who knew everything, all of my movements and had this spirit of vengeance in his heart? You know, is he going to be like a sniper in a tree somewhere, you know, in Warsaw or Gdansk when I'm walking, you know? I was always, for like a long time, I was thinking, you know, where is he? So I was always thinking of him. I know exactly what he looks like, and, you know, and he's on video, so maybe that's why nothing's happened. But like this, Kamsa, he knew that Krishna was going to kill him. So he was thinking of Krishna even in his sleep. How often do you think of Krishna during the day? How often do you think of Krishna at night? Nighttime is like a real turbulence of speculation, a conglomeration of all kinds of nonsense at night. Prabhupada said, there was never a time I forgot the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. This is pure devotee. When do we? One little girl, Padmamukhi, her real name is Padmavati, but I call her Padmamukhi, lotus-like face. She's the granddaughter of Mother Urmila, my god-sister. She's a little girl in Vrindavan with her parents, they live out at Govardhan. So she said to me, because we were spending time with the family, a nice 9-year-old girl, very Krishna-conscious, very Krishna-conscious. So she said, Maharaj, do you ever dream of Krishna? I said, I've dreamt of Prabhupada, but I can't say I've ever had a dream of Krishna. I said, do you dream of Krishna? She said, no, but I dream of Radharani. Oh, really? Well, she said, all the time I dream of Radharani. Oh, really? Wow. Just sit here, kid, and tell me a little something about Krishna consciousness. So I said, what did you dream? She said, well, I dreamt that Radharani was sleeping in the kunja and advised by the other gopis, the elderly gopis, the sakis, I went in and awoke Radharani by the prescribed method because the monkey, he was not going loud enough, like in Govinda Lilamrita, I think, oh my gosh, and the whole description how the monkeys wake up. And the parrots were singing, but they weren't loud enough. So as the prescribed method, I was waking up Radha, and Radha woke up with a start. And I appeased her. I said, no, it's okay. None of the in-laws are here. And I go, keep going on, kid. What, like? It was all very natural for her. I said, yes. And so then Radharani woke up, and she blessed me. She put her hand on my head. That was all I wanted, Indradyumna Swami. Right, okay. You're giving class tomorrow morning. So I said, I'd like Radharani to put her hand on my head. She got this look on her face. She's not going to put her hand on your head. You're a male. Krishna, why don't we take some prasadam together and you can leave a little on your plate? So to think of Krishna all the time, it's you have to be either like Kamsa or you have to be like Padmamukhi. Well, she's just a kid. But there's two ways to always remember someone. If you hate them, and if you love them. And Rupa Goswami gives credit to Kamsa for always remembering Krishna, never forgetting him. But then we have that Paribhasha Sutra, which we've quoted several times. Anyabilasita sunyam jnana karma anavritam anukulena Krishna shilanam bhakta uttama. Another verse that we should have in our pocket. When first-class devotional service develops, one is devoid of all material desires, impersonal knowledge, and fruitive actions. The devotee serves Krishna favorably as Krishna desires. And that word favorable is the key, one of the key words in that verse. Was Kamsa remembering, which is one type of serving, Smaranam, was he remembering Krishna favorably? No, very unfavorably. As Krishna wanted to kill him, he also wanted to kill Krishna. This is his constant meditation. Is that very favorable? If you're always thinking how to kill that person, is that favorable? Oh no. So, of the two, we choose love. Because we see the end result, just like Prahlad Maharaj. He chose to serve the Lord with love, and his dad chose to approach the Lord with hatred. And what was the result? You can, any way you approach Krishna, there's going to be some benefit. But what happened to Hiranyakashipu? Well, he lost his heart. Like we say, I lost my heart in Vrindavan. He lost his heart on the throne of Indra. and his intestines and his life. But fortunately, by the grace of the Lord, he also lost his material desires. Because when the Lord killed him with his hot nails, Om Am Hrim Shrom Om Fat Om Tataka Hatika Keshika Jalat Parikalochanda Bandharaka Nakash Barshadava Shingha Namostute. O my Lord, O Transcendental Lion, I offer my respects to you along with Mother Lakshmi. Sometimes flying in the sky, sometimes moving on foot. Your mane hairs glow with a wonderful brilliance. Your glance and the touch of your nails are both the source of auspiciousness. The nails of the lion, man-like God, they're auspicious because if they, with the hot claws, plunge through your rib cage into your chest and pull out your heart. He not only pulls out your heart, but because he's Hari, he takes away lust, anger, and greed. And therefore, when Nisringadev offered Prahlad a benediction, Prahlad was Vaishnava. He said, I'm happy just being your servant, but what about my dad? My dad, look at him. So Nisringadev said, no, don't you worry. He's already liberated with 10 generations before and after. By the touch of my nails, he's been liberated. He got mukti. He didn't get the topmost mukti, which is devotional service in the spiritual world, but like that. So we don't, but we would rather have the Lord's little pat, his paw, Nisringadev's paw, with the nails. You know, when you see the cat when her nails are out, she's scratching the couch, and she retracts them. And then we want that paw on our head. A kitty paw. Kitty cat.
Meow.
Not roar. We want meow. Nisringa Dev. Shanta Nisringa. That's the deity for householders. Ugra Narasingha is the deity for sannyasis. Because sannyasis, they want the Lord to tear out all these material desires so they can approach Radha Bhalamji with devotion, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays. I am rolling on the threshold of Narasingha's palace at Devapali in Mayapur, asking that lion-like God to tear from my heart all obstacles to my devotion to Radha Madhava. This is why we worship Nisringadev. We're not Nisringa Bhaktas in the sense we want to go to Vaikuntha and serve the Lord. What will we do there? That's Aishwarya Bhav. That's fine, well enough. But Raghunath Das Goswami warns us, don't become too attracted to the Narayan feature of the Lord, because that will lead you to Aishwarya Dham. We want to go, we're followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's teaching us Braj Bhakti. You have to go there. So we need Lord's protection to remove the anarthas, to protect us in our service to Guru and Granth. Therefore, Narasingha is very dear to the Vaishnavas. And we want that blessing, not the type of blessing that Hiranyakashipu got. We want the blessing of that Prahlad got. So we want to remember Lord very favorably. Like Kunti, she's offering that beautiful prayer. She's a perfect example. She always remembered Krishna. How can we know that? Because she remembered Krishna in the good times and the bad. Even in times of calamity. We gave the example the other day. You know, we can test our devotion. You're driving down the road and your road in the car starts to skid on the ice. Oh my, oh, what a... Or did you go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Thank you, Krishna. Or you bump your head, you know, you're getting your clothes out. Oh, you... There was one spy who, during World War II, he was a German man, but he'd lived in England before the war, so he spoke perfect British. They say, we say in real English, we say rose water. And in Britain, they say rose water. Rose water. Amrita, how do you say rose water? There's water. Because this is Australia, part of the Commonwealth. So he didn't say rose water, he said rose water. He spoke, so he was employed by the Nazis to infiltrate into the British Army. He rose up to the rank of officer, a very high officer. They had fake British passport, fake everything. He was as British as spitting image of British officer. But then they began to see that a lot of the operations, you know, the British had these plans, they were always found out, and, you know, and they were losing a lot of men and equipment and everything. It was disastrous. Whatever plan they came up with, it, the Germans found out. So they figured out, we've got a spy here, and it must be in the higher ranks. So they couldn't catch the guy. He was so good. He was actually leading the investigation. Let's find the spy. That's how ridiculous it was. But one of the top commanding officers, brilliant. The British officers were sharp. That's why they conquered the whole world. The sun never set on the British Empire. But for their sins in India, the sun never rises on the British Empire, which is now just an island, a London fog. They took the jewels of Venkateshwar and took them and made the crown jewels for the queen. So this top commander, so he said, I've got an idea. So somehow or other, by intuition is a little mystical, right? Intuition. By intuition, he suspected this German officer, but he didn't know he was German, but he suspected him. He thought, maybe it's him. So you know what he did? He called him to his office, and he opened the door for the officer, that British officer, actually German. And when he came in, he slammed the door on his fingers. And the German, that spy went, Ach, tun mein Herr, ja boh, that's not good. And that commanding officer, he took his gun out, put it to that man's temple. No court trial, you know, no. This is war. In emergency, there's no rules and regulations, Prabhupada actually said one time. Well, there was no problems after that. So his real heart came out when he was in, you know. So similarly, you bang your head, you son of a gun. I mean, you know, Hare Krishna. Oh, Krishna. You're so kind, Krishna. I was meant to lose my hand, but I've only, you know, lost my fingernail. My beautiful fingernail. I just painted them. Can we have a replay on that, Krishna? So, our devotion to Krishna is tested not only in the good times but the bad times, when you have the flu and you're down and out and you still chant your rounds. and you're going through a hard time, and instead of taking shelter of the material energy in the hard time, like going back to bad habits, like drinking, smoking, illicit sex, instead of going back, one takes shelter in Krishna. And by doing so, the quality of one's devotion improves. Chanakapanda says, test a servant in the discharge of his duty, test a citizen in a time of war, test a relative in time of misfortune. Kunti Devi, we know the history, we won't go into all the details, but they were in the forest for so many years, and their children, and there's this and that, half the Mahabharata's about her. But never once did she forget Krishna, and her devotion only increased. Just like, it's called the fire of ordeal. If you take, when you get gold from the mountain, then it's a kind of a, it's like the color, it's dark, like a dark brownish, not a very attractive color. We were telling devotees the day, we used to pan gold when we were children. Up in the Sierra Nevada mountains, you can, even to this day, you can go and you can pan gold, and because that's where the, in 1849, they had the California gold rush. Lots of, there is gold in them thar hills, they used to say. So they used to go pan that gold. So as kids, you know, teenage, we used to go up there, and after a hard day, you know, we'd find a little nugget and we'd sell it at the nearby store for $9 or $10. But it was never bright gold. Don't look for bright gold. Gold in its state coming from the ground is a kind of brownie color. But when you put it in fire, the impurities go away and you have that bright gold. So when a devotee goes to the fire of ordeal, his heart becomes purified. So we don't mind if there's some bad times. We don't pray for them. You don't have to pray for them. Material energy will give you plenty of hard times. Kunti Dev prayed, I wish that these calamities would happen again and again. Can you imagine how much faith she had in Krishna? Lord, let these calamities happen again and again. Because when they're happening, we're obliged to remember your lotus feet. And by remembering your lotus feet, we don't have to see the repetition of birth and death again. So she passed the test. She loved the Lord in happiness and distress. This is called smarana, constant remembrance. There's more evidence of her unalloyed devotion. And if you've read, how many of you have read Brihat Bhagavatamritam? The three volumes? Oh my gosh, it's such an important book. BBT, the first of the Goswami literatures, the foundation of all the Goswami's literatures, a good introduction, because as Narottam said, when will I read the books left by the Goswamis? So Prabhupada mentions Brihat Bhagavatamrita, and one day he said that will be there for my disciples. So BBT took this arduous task of translating it so nicely, Gopi and Keshabhari Maharaj, and a very important book. Everyone should have that book under their belt. So there, Sanatana Goswami recounts on one occasion, Krishna asked Asura to go to visit the Pandavas in Hastinapur to see how they were doing, because Duryodhana was harassing them. And while he was there, Asura met Kunti. And Kunti said, I don't want to hear about the politics. How's Krishna? Like sometimes we get together and we talk about the temple politics or the regional politics or the country politics. Kunti's first question, how's Krishna? So as soon as Asura began talking about Krishna, Sanatana Goswami says this caused ecstatic symptoms of love to appear in her body. We've mentioned Krishna's name a few times in this class. We've related to a few of pastimes. Did your hair stand on end? Did tears start to... You know, we get an idea, just like... I was speaking with somebody recently and their child had passed away. It was months. It was six, seven... It was in Vrindavan, actually, one of my disciples. And we had the ceremony where we took the ashes to the, just a child, 6 years old, sweet little girl. She passed away from something. And with the mother and father, we took the ashes to the Jamuna, and I walked out on the river and let the ashes go. And afterwards, I was speaking, and then I just mentioned the girl's name, and the mother just, tears flowing down her eyes. Like that. This is natural, of course. Missing her child, missing the little Vaishnavi. But we want to come to that stage that when we just hear Krishna's name, the heart starts to pound. This is the goal. It's very far away. We have a lot of work to do. But in little doses, we discuss these things so that we have an impetus to go forward in Krishna consciousness. One time, Prabhupada was walking with the devotees on the beach in California, Stinson Beach. That was a famous beach for surfing. And the waves were crashing. Kaboom, boom, boom. Kaboom, boom, boom. Prabhupada said, what is that sound? And the disciples said, Prabhupada, that's the waves crashing on the beach. Prabhupada said, no, that is the sound of the gopis' heartbeats when they're feeling separation from Krishna. This is how a pure devotee sees Krishna everywhere. Well, Kunti, when she heard about Krishna, then she, O Govinda, feeling your separation, I'm considering a moment. To be like 12 years or more, tears are flowing from my eyes like torrents of rain, fitting all vacant in the world in your absence. And Sanatana Goswami says that the complaints and anxiety she expressed in some of her prayers in the 8th chapter, the first canto, he said these did not arise from a materially contaminated consciousness, but were her own special symptoms of ecstasy. So she's a good example. And of course we have the best example because Brihat Bhagavatamritam is, well, you know, maybe you don't know, but the story is that Narada Muni is trying to meet different devotees to find out who has the greatest love for Krishna, who he's going and he's meeting, so much appreciating each devotee, but that devotee very humbly offers, actually I'm not such a great devotee because this, that, and this person's more advanced than me. That's a devotee. Even the topmost devotee, he'll always say, me? I think you've got the wrong number, sir. Right? Somebody calls it. Have you got the wrong number? I like to speak to an advanced devotee. You definitely got the wrong number here. You can call up Aniruddha Prabhu. He's in his office. He loves to chant Hare Krishna, dance in ecstasy, run very pukka temple. But who did he conclude with? Rajyo Bhagavan Vajesa Tanayatad Dhaman Vrindavanam Ramya Kichit Upasana Bhraja Vadhu Vargena Ya Kopita. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna, the son of the king of Braja, is the most worshipable person of all. And so is his abode, Vrindavan. And the topmost form of worshipping him is the mood exhibited by the gopis of Vrindavan. So of course this is a very exalted subject matter, but neither should we be in denial. We should know our philosophy. We should know what we want to be 10 years down the road, 20 years down the road. Here's a vision of ourselves. Some lifetimes, at least in the end, by the grace of Guru and Krishna, we have a vision of ourselves. So then it's easier to know. And this is Mahaprabhu's mercy, that he's generally understood that the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are aspiring to go to Goloka Vrindavan. Otherwise, why would we be chanting Raghupati Raghava Rajaram Patita Pavan Sitaram? But we're aspiring for Golok. And so we're chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. The mantra you chant takes you to that place. So we're chanting. So we should know, who are we worshiping? Not that, yeah, we're worshiping a blue cowherd boy. Can you say something more? He likes to eat. What is the impetus for love? Why did you choose this man as your husband? Why did you choose that man as your wife? Because there was something, some personal characteristics there that set him or her apart. The way they did the arti, the way they cooked, I met her in the kitchen, the way they dress, we like the same holy, we prefer Mayapur to, you know, we like Jagannath, we like Vrindavan, you know. So why have we chosen Krishna? We haven't chosen, Prabhupada has given him, but why? Because Tribhanga Sundara, he stands there in his threefold bending form with his Venu flute and his long black flowing hair and his bimba colored fruit lips, his teeth set like pearls, his peacock feather, his yellow dhoti, his Vajayanti garland, five types of ever-fresh flowers going down to the ankles. Rupa Goswami warns, if you're a vowed materialist, if you've taken a vow, I will enjoy this world. Hey, don't go to Vrindavan. And don't wander down to the Jamuna River, to Vamsivat, where Govindaji is playing his flute, because if you do, you'll break your vow. That type of vow you can break. And take up the new vows, sir. I will follow the four legative principles and I will chant 16 rounds a day. I broke my other vows. Good. Like Sanatana Goswami says, throw away the touchstone, my boy. I'll keep it in my pocket, you can give me. No. Throw it in the lake, Kusham Sarovar. It's at the bottom of Kusham Sarovar. But the British couldn't find the bottom of that lake, so don't go looking. Then he gave them mantra. So this love of the gopis, this is very vast, it's very deep. Prabhupada, he discussed, he said, elegance, or he quoted Kaviraj Goswami, elegance is truth spoken concisely. Prabhupada was giving a lecture about different devotees and he said, but the gopis, they never ask Krishna for anything. So slowly, 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 Vasudeva Savamiti Samahatma Sadurlabha. Through many, many births of purification of the heart, then one day we may be able to understand these things and yearn for these things and hope to follow in their footsteps. We're actually following in their footsteps. This is the process. To become lovers of God, we associate with lovers of God. It's better than associating with Krishna directly. Service to a devotee is more valuable than service to the Lord. Well, wait a minute. How could service to a devotee be more valuable than service to God? Well, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he explains. He says, more dangerous than associating with a materialistic woman is to associate with a man who's attached to a woman. You know how the men are in the bars? Yeah. Blah, 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 blah. So he said, more favorable than associating with God is to associate with devotees who are attached to God. So we're followers of Prabhupada, we're Prabhupada Anugas, in a greater sense, or not a greater sense, but in a more general sense, we're Rupa Anugas, we're followers in the footsteps of Rupa Goswami. And they're encouraging us, Vrindavan, going back to Vrindavan, following in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan. So how do we do that? We just follow Prabhupada. He's a resident of Vrindavan. We mentioned yesterday, he had that recipe from Mother Yashoda, so he must be a resident of Vrindavan. So we follow in his footsteps. We don't have to go to Vrindavan to follow a resident of Vrindavan, we just follow in. Prabhupada said one time, if I told you who I was, you would faint. And it's not our business to know that at this point. We follow Prabhupada as our founder Acharya, as our spiritual master, our guru. We see him in that light and we follow him very strictly. Even he's not here, someone can say, how we can follow? No. He lives forever by his divine instructions and the follower lives with him. And if we're sincere as sadhakas, then rest assured we'll be making nice progress in the next stage, in the final stage of Krishna consciousness. If we have the blessings of these great devotees, that's, what more do we need? Param gopyam api snigdhe shishe vacham iti shruti tachtuyatam mahabhaga goloka mahimaduna. The Vedas say that to a loyal disciple, one may speak the confidential secret. Therefore, O most fortunate one, now please hear the glories of Goloka. Grantara Shrimad Bhagavatam ki Shrimati Kunti Devi ki. The kings who were delivered by the mercy of Krishna ki Shirvavopara ki Gopemanande.